Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. You're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. Our guests today are Rob Butert and Andrew Turner from Warp Corp. They're going to tell us all about their organization, what they do, what they stand for, and how they began their Warp Corp organization. Gentlemen, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, you want to tell the folks, what is Warp Corp?
Yeah, you know, real simply, I had owned and operated an indoor skate park for many years here in the Woodstock and Crystal Lake community called Warp Skate Park. We ran that for many years, you know, as a positive place to try and, you know, work with young people, give them options and things to do in life. We focused on music, art, and, you know, obviously skateboarding. But, we did a really cool thing through just trying to, you know, kind of me pursuing my passion of action sports that evolved into, a pretty serious thing, you know, 5-6 years into it as we grew with the families and the kids. And, we really realized that, you know, we were kind of, you know, tapping into something that was pretty organic and genuine in our efforts to, you know, be positive mentors for kids. Maybe, you know, I'm 40 years old when I did this, you know, so the impact that we could have on young people that, you know, might need a little bit of direction and help. So this thing just kind of grew organically and, it was quite successful. We produced four professional skateboarders. These are young men now that are living their dream, making a boatload of money. Kind of rock star skate park, you know, pro skaters, sure, are kind of like rock stars, you know, they're living it. But, so we did a lot of cool things. Great Recession, 07, 08, creeped up. And, that pretty much shut her down. Nobody had any money, as you guys remember. You know, those were tough times in the community, sure, and in our country. So, you know, we had to throttle that. But, it kind of came full circle in 2017 when we lost a young man to suicide who grew up in my skate park. Ryan was an amazing skater. He could have been a pro easy. He had raw talent like, you know, no one's business. But he opted to go in the Army, career path, become a fireman. And, he struggled there with some mental health issues, and then he got injured. So anyway, you know, he took his own life. He committed suicide. And that was kind of a conduit for me. You know, I reconnected with a bunch of these now young men and women that I knew as kids and their parents. We had a little memorial service as we were waiting for the family to be able to lay this young man to rest. The military took months to get the body home so they could, you know, lay this young man to rest. So in that, sure, interim, we put together a little memorial skate session at the Free Outdoor Skate Park in McHenry. And that was the day that, you know, I became aware of the heroin epidemic in our community. That was literally me saying, you know, how's Jim? How's Mary? How's Tommy? How's Billy? And it wasn't good. Most of them were dead. A couple of them were in prison. And, you know, that was me saying, why? What? And they said, heroin. And
what was the age group when you had the skate park of the kids that were going there?
You know, we had a pretty wide range. I mean, we had 30-year-olds, school teachers that would come there and skate, and we had 5-year-old kids that would come there for our lessons and camps, and, you know, that, you know, it was pretty wide-ranging for sure.
The when you shut that down and you had that period of time that you weren't doing a whole lot because the economy and everything else that was going on, what did you plan for the future, or what was your next phase for how you'd handle things or where you'd go?
Sure, you know, we did attempt to open a small retail footprint in Woodstock, keep the skate shop and the vibe and energy, you know, and the connectivity to the kids. But, you know, that didn't make it either. The recession wasn't really over, and the dollars and cents just didn't add up. You know, you can't run just a standalone skate shop. You just won't make it. You got to have a side hustle of some sort. So we did that for about a year, but then, you know, those realities jumped up and we had to shut that down, and, you know, we just kind of throttled it for a little bit.
I'm sure someone's going to ask the question, like, how did you picking skateboards or skate park to start this whole program?
Well, you know, I've been an action sport athlete. You know, I served in the Marine Corps, so I learned a whole lot about adrenaline high and physical fitness, and you know, that you can get high a lot of different ways without drugs and alcohol, you know, natural
sure.
ways. Yeah, go on an 18-mile Marine Corps run in formation. You'll feel all kinds of stuff in your brain and body. But, you know, it was just my passion. I wakeboarder, snowboarder, you know, I consider myself first generation because of my age. You know, snowboarding and mountain biking, you know, me and my brothers and crew were riding our mountain bikes in the woods long before anybody ever had fat tires and were putting suspensions on bikes. Just another way to go get my yayas out and, you know.
Sure.
Adrenaline, you know, I am an adrenaline junkie. There's no doubt about it.
So what officially is the date for the birth of the Warp Corp?
Warp Corp, originally we started in my basement. You know, when I just transitioned out of my career, you know, I was involved in a family business in Belvedere. So, you know, my brothers were, you know, more than gracious in allowing me to come back and just assume my same job I did for 25 years in the family business. But, you know, through that transition, you know, I did 7 more years to do my 30 in the family business. And then, you know, that was enough for me. I had lost too much of my hair and got too gray, so I said, I gotta try and regain my youth a little bit here. But so, you know, I just kind of basically retired out, and that was the exact same time that this whole situation with Ryan happened, and it was just like almost, you know, the universe giving me the opportunity, the time, and a little bit of the resources we needed to try and do something different.
And what year was that, Rob?
2017.
The so right now, what's the status of the Warp Corp right now? Where are you guys?
Oh man, we spin a lot of plates, but we've come a long way in the 7 years. That's really a cool story. You know, we were able to get a storefront on Woodstock Square. We knew the building owners. They showed us a bunch of love. But when I became aware of the suicide, mental health, and the drug epidemic, the opioid epidemic in the community, you know, I just said, man, I don't know what I can do, but I'll figure it out as I go. You know, let's start rolling forward and kick it and go. So that brought us, you know, to our prevention through engagement. That is, to this day, our foundational tenet. You know, we got to get, you know, prevention-based programs for kids. The current state is horrific. But it is what it is, and we can't do anything about that but show people love, compassion, and help them. But, you know, very quickly, it did bring us through the county when COVID hit into street outreach for the homeless. And, you know, this is when Andrew came into the organization and came on board to help us deal with that. So, you know, the current state is, you know, we have prevention-based programs. But, you know, I'll let Andrew jump in here and explain a little bit more to answer your question about where we're at on some of the more current issues and things we're facing and trying to do.
Well, from some previous guests we've had on, our understanding is that the real crisis that's taking place with, you know, a lot of the cocaine is that it's laced with fentanyl, and that's a serious problem.
Yes, sir.
Across absolutely. The entire country.
And so, it's cocaine, it's any pressed pills, it's... couple random out there outlier cases. It's shown up in marijuana. There's really not a whole lot that is off limits as far as things that can be tainted with fentanyl, and that's what's killing everybody. So Warp Corp acts as kind of a central location where anybody can come in off the street, no questions asked, no name required, no cost, and receive things like fentanyl test strips. So they can test the drugs that they're going to ingest before they do and know for sure. And we also offer Narcan, which is an opioid overdose reversal drug. If somebody is in a situation where they're going to overdose on heroin, fentanyl, any opioid, just like a little burst of Flonase up the nose and it could save their life, we liken it to CPR. It's something that you don't think you need, you hope you never have to use, but if you have it when you need it, it could save someone's life.
So Andrew, they can bring their drug into your shop, your store, and you'll test it for them free of charge.
So we don't perform any tests. We offer the supplies to do so. We have just small little packets of the test strips. We've got hundreds. We can hand out as many as anyone might need, and they can take that home and test whatever they might.
We'll train them on how to do it. depending on what substance. You know, a powdered substance like cocaine is a different process than a pill, than, you know, concentrates or the waxes or, you know, whatever that
we. So how do you support that? In other words, you've got these supplies that you give to these users. So how do you get the supplies, or how do you pay for that, or is that donated to your organization?
That is gifted to us, or collaboratively through Live for Lolly, which is another amazing organization in our community. Their main focus is the harm reduction supplies, education and awareness around substance use and addiction. And they also do wonderful work in helping individuals navigate treatment if that's something that they're looking for.
It is all through grant funds.
Yes.
Okay. It's all grant funded.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So where are you now with your state of outreach?
So we are, as we act like a central location for the distribution of the harm reduction supplies, we are also a central location that the community is becoming more and more aware of, that they can come if they're in need. The basement of our shop acts as an outreach point, issue point, where we have food, clothes, outdoor gear, any supplies that you might need if you're finding yourself in a difficult situation where you might be sleeping on the streets or couch surfing, things like that. You know, and it's not specifically the homeless. We've had plenty of individuals from our community come in and just say, hey, I just need a little bit of food. And if we're in a position where we can supply that, then we're always happy to do so.
There's a lot of people that, at least in our community, that are teetering on homelessness. You know, they're right there. They're standing on the edge, and they need help too. You know, that could be just basic couple boxes of cereal for the kids, whatever we might have.
So you're getting donations from folks for food?
Correct.
To your organization?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like the different organizations that are out there that are offering food to folks, Northern Illinois Food Bank, things like that. But you've got your own little setup in your operation, too, that people can come to. I'm not sure. How many people are aware of where you are, where you're located, and what your organization is all about? Are there many people out there that know about you?
You know, our reach is growing. Yeah, for sure. More and more people, you know, Rome was not built in a day. And, you know, we've been doing this for 3.5 years now, as far as the street outreach. So, you know, the power of social media is amazing. You know, if I do a post to just to my group, hey, we need food for this family, we'll get flooded. You know, so the reach is growing, but, you know, it's a lot of just on the street, word of mouth. We get out, Andrew and our team is out.
I want to remind everybody, you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station, and we're talking to Rob and Andrew from Warp Corp. You mentioned you'll put the word out that you need food, whatever. Is that through your email or website?
We do every medium, you know, be it Facebook post, Instagram post, emails to certain people for sure. Yeah, we got a pretty extensive database of emails. You know, people that have joined the Corps, as I say, came in one way or another, willingly gave us their email because they want to know what we're doing and how they can help. So,
sure.
Yeah, that's well over 1,000 addresses just in our email database.
So you kind of flood that with things that you need, and that all comes in through those folks to help out.
Yep. You know, a great example was I did a quick post right before Christmas. There was a dire need for her children and young adult winter coats. And I just did a quick 2-second video, threw it out just on my personal Facebook page. And a good long-term family friend that's got some dough and a big heart. What'd they bring us? 100 brand new down
something
coats?
Like that.
Like 50, large. 75 brand new within a week. We had more coats than we could give away
at
that moment in time.
So people who are not on your mailing list or don't know about you, but they wanted to do something, how do they reach out to you? How do they find you?
Well, we're right on the Woodstock Square. We got a location on the square, and then the green doors back on Jefferson Street. That's our issue point for our outreach. Anybody's welcome to come in with donations, or if they're looking for donations, just wander in and we'd be more than happy to help you. You can also find us at warpcore.org or look us up on Facebook or Instagram. All of our information's there, and you can reach out with any ways that you would want to.
Are there signs in the building there that direct the people to get to your location?
Oh, yeah. We're the big tie-dye sign on the square, Warp Core.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We're located directly below the yoga lounge. That's a great thing. A lot of people know the business above us.
Okay.
And in full disclosure, that's my wife's business.
All right. Do you guys want to tell me about your documentary screening?
Yeah, sure. That was a really cool thing. I mean, you know, last year, probably late summer, you know, I get a random phone call, and this gentleman was explaining to me who he is and what they're trying to do. And, you know, I was a little bit, you know, I get sales calls all the time, people proposing things to me. And my son Clay is our head of business operations. So, you know, it got my attention just enough that I said, you know, this gentleman's name is Mike Heisey, amazing human being. You know, I handed the phone off to Clay, and I just said, you know, this sounds really cool. You know, give this guy a minute, but find out how much it's going to cost me.
Okay.
And in 2 minutes, the phone call was over, and he's like, Dad, we got to do this. There's no cost. So then we kind of vetted them as they were vetting us. And this is this huge Social Enterprise Chicago is this organization that they choose one nonprofit or social enterprise a year that they decide through their vetting process is worthy of. What they proposed originally was a 5-minute short documentary. That's really what they do for people, just to help them and use it as a marketing tool or a fundraising tool.
Sure.
Social enterprise. And when he came out, we committed and said, yes, let's do this. He was in the building 5 minutes, and he said, we're going for the longest short doc we can get, and that's 15 minutes. Because he was really impressed, you know, and he knew we couldn't send our message out in 5 minutes. So we were able to do that. He came out, what, 2 or 3 times, Andrew?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was just phenomenal. I mean, to be able to get this and to see the finished product, you know, outstanding. You know, it's pretty cool. And I'll let Andrew kind of, you know, chime in a little bit about through the process, because when they came, you know, they sat down with me, then they were interviewing, you know, other people, and we did a quick walkthrough. I'll let you tell them, you know, about going out to the field.
Sure. So Tent Cities, we refer to it as a homeless encampment in Woodstock, and that's a big part of what we do, just going out into the streets where we know there to be populations of homeless individuals, and we go out and provide whatever resources and assistance we can, you know, not only in our shop on the square, but also out in the field. So Tent City, which is pretty close to our shop there in Woodstock, we went out there, Rob and myself, with Mike, and he got to take a look around and kind of see the harsh realities of the lives that some of these people are experiencing right now. And just being able to have some of that imagery in the documentary is really powerful, I think.
And I would like to add real quick that, you know, dealing with the homeless is a very sensitive thing. And there's got to be a lot of respect given to these individuals. You know, we could put them in any bucket in our society we want, but they're people. They're our brothers, sisters, sons and daughters, etc. So we did not bring a film crew into a homeless encampment while there were any residents there. We just don't ever do that. We don't, you know, that in a weird way can be manipulating these people that are in a bad space and time. We don't ever put their faces on the internet or pictures. So we were very, you know, lucky because of the cold weather program that we were able to just sneak in, shoot a little bit of footy so he could see it and get the impact of what the reality is, and with respect to the what we call, you know, residents without, you know.
And Rob, when will this air, this documentary?
This documentary, we're having a private screening on September 1st at 8 p.m. at the Woodstock Opera House. It is a fundraiser / private screening. We're going to have a panel discussion with the community after the documentary airs. And then we're waiting for the production team to give us a green light. It's being submitted to over 40 independent film festivals globally. We're talking Europe, Ireland, a bunch here in America. It was the first ones it went to was the Indie Film X in LA. So the first two film festivals that saw it, it won first prize, best documentary short in LA, which really got me motivated, because that's Hollywood,
that's
baby.
Pretty awesome.
If they like it in LA, that was a great little indicator. And then as soon as we know there's a time. It can't be out before a bulk of the independent film festivals it's being submitted to agree that it's the right time. So within 6 months.
You know, L.A. makes sense, Rob, because L.A., Portland, Oregon, Chicago have a lot of homeless.
Yes, they do.
As well as New York and some of the in Detroit, a lot of big cities. I guess my question is that on some of the homeless, how do you convince them to come out of being homeless and get back on track? I mean, how do you work with them on that?
That answer can change every time. The things that motivate some of these individuals to improve their situation and get off the streets changes, be it they have family that they want to return to, or an ex-wife or husband that they want to return to, or their health is declining, or they want to become clean off of substances or alcohol, whatever their choice might be. And, you know, unfortunately, there are also individuals we interact with on the daily basis that don't have any desire to improve.
That's a big reality.
Yeah, I believe that to be true because I've seen that a lot. And I was just wondering, in Tent City, how do they protect themselves from the cold and everything in the wintertime in Tent City?
So as Rob mentioned briefly earlier, luckily in McHenry County, we have a wonderful motel program is what it's called. And it has extra funding in the winter that allows for under a certain temperature threshold, which is set annually, as low as funding allows, for any individual in whatever situation to call a certain hotline number and be put into shelter through the Woodstock or Crystal Lake Super 8 for as long as the temperature will remain under that.
So I'm sure a question that the audience is going to ask is that if you're homeless, do you have a cell phone? And if you do, how do you pay for that cell phone?
Real quick, a cell phone, you know, that's a great debate that people do not understand about homeless. I've had this said to me 1,000 times. That guy's asking me for money and he's got a smartphone in his hand. Okay, that doesn't mean that they bought and paid for that themselves. And Andrew can opine on that in a minute. But a cell phone is a life preserver for a homeless person, period. It's connectivity. It limits that isolation that they experience. Imagine, you know, a guy floating in the ocean. If you saw him and had it with a life preserver, you wouldn't judge that.
Sure, but how's that cost covered, Rob?
That's it. Andrew can explain that one. It's a cool thing.
So there are a couple different programs across the United States that address this. The one that is most effective and that we have had the best success with in our area, thankfully through Cricket, Warp Corps was actually able to get initiated a free cell phone program. So you work with Cricket, and there's very minimal documentation that you need or proof of any residency or anything like that. But if you qualify through their simple qualification process, you can be qualified for a free smartphone and a plan that has free or unlimited texting, calling, and 5 gigs of data a month for up to 3 years is how long this program will be running. Not a penny out of pocket for any of the
customers. It's not taxpayer funded. People need to know that. That's okay. Corporation.
And of course, the next thing is going to be is the when they have this phone, then how do they charge it up again? I mean, where do they go to charge their phone?
Yeah. There's a number of different ways. The battery packs that everybody likes to use, those are also, as Rob said, a lifesaver when you're out on the streets. And just different community resources, be it Starbucks, the library, Warp Corps. We act as a charging station, if you will, for many of these folks. They know that they can come in and drop their phone off with us, and we'll get it charged up for them and give it back. And
I think Rob is right because people do see people out there with a sign, you know, looking for donations. They're wondering, well, they got a cell phone with them. How can they pay for it? That's why I wanted to have you guys talk about that so they understand why they have a cell phone and how it's being covered and being taken care of.
Absolutely.
So where are you headed? What's your final phase here before we run out of time? You want to give us a little rundown there, Rob?
Sure, yeah. You know, first off, we just appreciate you guys letting us come in here and rant a little bit, you know, about our mission. This is my passion and our passion, and we appreciate that. You know, we are hoping that with this private screening of the documentary, it will give us a bounce to with the community where we can pursue both grant funding and private sector funding. This solution of prevention through engagement that we envision and are trying to bring to the community cannot be done with just, you know, a $250,000 grant. You know, we're trying to get it to a phase two of our business model that would be a larger community center. We have our eyes on a couple different buildings in Woodstock. You know, I'm not knocking, but I'm knocking on wood that we can make this happen. It all boils down to dollars and cents, but we have an amazing vision for prevention through engagement programming, and it allows us to bring physical activities back into their lives. We got too many young people sitting around not doing anything. So it's really to bring our phase two to reality and, you know, show the community what can be done with private sector and public funding and a completely out-of-the-box approach and how we talk to young people and how we deal with drugs, mental health, and, you know, all these things that are plaguing our community.
Well, we want to thank Rob and Andrew for being here today from Warp Corp and enlightening us on what you're doing, the work you're doing, and how you're helping the people that are out there that are in need, whether it be drugs or whether it be homelessness, whatever it may be. So thank you again, guys, for coming. And you've been listening to 101.5 FM, ladies and gentlemen, your Huntley Community Radio station. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com, contact us, and you'll get more information about our shows and about this show in particular. In the meantime, have a great day, everybody.